Are you ready for 60 bone-crunching minutes of inside info and expert analysis? It's the fantasy football coverage real handicappers crave. Packed with stats without going into sudden-death overtime. So get off the sideline and get into the game. There's no stopping the Power Hour.
Welcome to the Power Hour, presented by SportsOverload.com, the premier source for free fantasy football and handicapping. And I'm your host, Ron Jumper. I'm joined by my fantasy guru, Rick Atkinson. How you doing, Rick?
Doing great. How are you?
And the freak, Joe Franklin. How you doing?
I'm doing good. What's going on, guys?
Oh, not a whole lot. You know, Rick, your Tar Heels killed me last Saturday against Kentucky. They were a three-point dog. Yeah. They were getting murdered the whole day. Then they hit a three at the buzzer to only lose by two and killed my Kentucky minus three play. You're killing me over there, Rick.
A lot of people lost money on that three.
Joe, I think your Steelers are causing you enough misery all by themselves. So.
Yeah, you're about right on that. They have to win out to even have a chance at the playoffs, so we'll see what happens.
And it's kind of a weird slate because you've got the rest of your schedule is all teams that are about in the same boat, Packers, Ravens, Dolphins. So it's a bunch of 500 teams playing each other, so it could go no telling how it's going
to
play out.
Right. And I think I have to give a lot of credit to Rick because he's been speaking it for weeks that Polamalu was we know that he's a big part of the team, but they've been giving up a lot on defense because he's not in the mix. And, Rick, you called it a long time ago. I didn't think he'd be that big of a difference.
Man, it's amazing. I mean, you almost ought to give him the MVP this year for
Absolutely.
Not playing.
Well, and somebody has brought that up, actually.
Well, it adds more value. We had an Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu debate at different points in the year and things like that. So, you know, it gives Polamalu some extra credit there for it in terms of how valuable he is.
Well, and then you compare it to Bob Sanders, who disappeared, and they got better. So
no drop off. Yeah.
Right. They haven't hardly noticed. The Colts amazed me how, because they always have so many injuries, particularly on defense, and they don't have a whole lot of high-profile guys after Dwight Freeney and Bob Sanders, but yet somehow just keep trucking along. Not really sure how they do it. We got a big show today. We're going to talk about the Heisman Trophy. We're going to talk about some of the BCS Bowls and all the good bowl matchups. Our guest this week is Vince Mullins of FantasyCollegeBlitz.com. The man knows some fantasy college football. We look forward to recap the year and look ahead, take a sneak peek to next year. And as always, we'll have all the free picks of the big NFL games this week. Email the show at radio@sportsoverload.com. That's radio@sportsoverload.com. You're listening to the Power Hour presented by SportsOverload.com, the premier source for free fantasy football and handicapping analysis. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk a little pro fantasy football coming up next.
Are you tired of major brand tire dressings dripping all over your car? Nobody wants messy tire products slinging back. They cause potential damage to your paint job. Introducing Miracle Glaze Super Gloss Tire Dressing. Miracle Glaze protects rubber from harmful UV and ozone rays. It bonds to your tire surface within minutes, and just a few sprays of Miracle Glaze goes a long way. No wiping necessary. Other brands sling dressing everywhere, but Miracle Glaze really does stay on the tire, and we can prove it. Go to MiracleGlaze.com to view the amazing results of the sling test. Miracle Glaze introduces a unique custom blend that never stains and never slings. Other products can degrade the rubber and often cause cracks on interiors. Miracle Glaze also adds a high gloss shine to leather, plastic, vinyl, and wood. Treat your tires to the good stuff with non-sling Miracle Glaze. Go to MiracleGlaze.com today for more information.
Right now, get up to $1,000 off cabinet refacing from the Home Depot's Home Services. Think of cabinet refacing as a facelift for your kitchen, replacing all your current cabinet doors and drawers with new ones, giving you a stylish new look, and transforming your kitchen without a major overhaul. Just call 1-800-275-FACE to set up a free in-home consultation. Use your savings to upgrade your cabinet style, color, and material, and rest assured that your expert installation will be backed by the Home Depot, putting a smile on your face. Call 1-800-275-FACE. That's 1-800-275-3223 today. And get up to $1,000 off your cabinet refacing project of $3,000 or more. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Minimum purchase required through December 30th at participating U.S. stores. See store for license numbers and details.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, presented by SportsOverload.com, the premier source for free fantasy football and handicapping analysis. Now it's time to talk some pro fantasy football. And a guy I got to start off with, debate a little bit. Where do you put Robert Meacham? This guy's been on fire. A touchdown in each of his last five games. Actually has six touchdowns over that span. Is this a guy suddenly you're pretty confident to play each week?
Well, I am this week against against Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's cannot defend the pass, and he's a great play this week along with anybody else that might catch a pass for New Orleans. And Drew Brees is a huge play this week. If you got Drew Brees, man, that's a great thing in the playoffs. But, yeah.
He's probably the number one overall play this week is Drew Brees.
Yeah, and Meacham, though, is, you know, that's a guy you want to get in there right now, that's for sure. Yeah, you ride it while it's hot, and he's definitely hot. You know? He's got six touchdowns, and I don't think that counts the
that
fumble
doesn't, yeah, that's
thing.
Seven if you include the fumble return play thingamabopper, whatever that was. Not even sure how you count that. And another guy that before coming into the season, we had him ranked in that, like, 35 to 45 range, but he's turned into a start every week running back is Joseph Addai lately because of Donald Brown being out.
Well, and just he's been productive. Even when Brown has been healthy, Adai's been productive this year, more so than I ever thought he would be, and a good play this week also.
I think the key to Joseph Addai is staying healthy. You know, in the past, he's been down for injuries for several games throughout the season. He's actually played a little more this season than any other season I can remember.
Oh, without question, he has always been injury prone and that kind of thing. He's never been a guy that is going to lead the league in rushing yards, that kind of thing, but touchdown here, a touchdown there, receiving yards in the Colts' high-powered passing game. And particularly without Donald Brown, he gets all the red zone touches. And the Colts run more in the red zone than you would think they do, you know, just thinking Peyton Manning and the Colts.
It's that same stretch play every time. Right. But, I mean, it's you know it's coming, and they still don't stop it.
Right, you got to pick. Is he going to hand it off, or is he going to give the long stretch, play action, deep over the top? You have to choose, and a lot of times the defense seems to be choosing wrong. Another guy that we knocked him a lot during the middle of the season, but he started to look pretty solid as Tony Romo. Even though they lost last week, 392 yards, three touchdowns. Are you starting to feel safe with Romo? Is it finally on level ground?
I think some of that's just the Giants' defense isn't what we thought, you know, it was going to be. They don't seem to pressure him. They weren't able to defend the pass. I mean, anything they wanted to do, it seemed like they could just hit the little short passes and wear them out. The tight end can really hurt the Giants. I think that was some of what happened there. I'm not sure I'm sold on Romo as much as I am down on the Giants right now.
So is McNabb a big play this week?
Yeah, I think so. I think McNabb's a huge play this week.
DeSean Jackson should be back.
A healthy DeSean Jackson, they're going to get that big play this week. You know, he's going to get you that 90-yard play or 85-yard play that he always seems to get. So, I like all the Eagles.
Without question. Brian Westbrook's still out, most likely, so McCoy should be a solid play. So looking at some other quarterbacks, just in case. It's been a weird year for quarterbacks. It's one of the deeper years I can remember where you can look on down and 10 through 15 is still good a quarterback that's going to get you a solid 12, 15 points. You look down at an Alex Smith. You look at a Vince Young, some guys that have kind of seemingly come out of nowhere that I would feel pretty comfortable playing. Alex Smith, 310 yards and two touchdowns last week, and they're going to be on Monday night against the Cardinals. I think Alex Smith is a solid play this week, and Vernon Davis is the number one tight end overall.
Right,
I had written him off.
The Cardinals can defend the run, and they're so-so against the pass. I mean, you got to pass against them. You're not going to run. Gore is probably not a great play this week, but the passing end of that deal probably is.
Right. Speaking of Gore, it frustrated me because I own him in a couple of leagues. At halftime of that game, he only had four touches, you know, four carries. Yeah. And I was just going, hey, this guy had 40 points the last time they played Seattle. That was the game he had 200 yards, several touchdowns, was just destroying everybody, and suddenly he doesn't get to do anything. So I'm not sure why they're changing schemes a little bit and going away from what their bread and butter has been all season.
It's kind of one of those things we were talking about with the Titans where they didn't have that true identity until Vince Young got back into the starting lineup. And now I think the Niners are leaning on Alex Smith a little bit too much, and Frank Gore was their bread and butter for the longest, and now they're getting away from that.
Right. It's interesting to see. You know, Alex Smith has been – I mean, all quarterbacks are up and down and play good, play bad, and things like that. And one minute we love him, one minute we hate it. But no more so than Alex Smith, because he one minute goes from just not playing, third string, wanting to get cut. Then all of a sudden he comes back and plays okay, and all of a sudden they're throwing every down. It's just there's just no happy medium there, and it seems like there should be. But it has worked out great if you own Vernon Davis, number one fantasy tight end. He's been fantastic.
And you know how much both of you guys know how much I love the combo guys. Alex Smith was a great combo guy in college. You haven't seen a lot of running from him in the NFL, but He's a guy that can move around the pocket, and he can actually run, get downfield.
Speaking of a combo quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is starting to cement himself as at least a top two, top three fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He's definitely very impressive, and he does score a few running touchdowns. You know, he's the offense is geared to let him do what he wants to do up there, and it's working right now.
Right, because he's not going to necessarily rush, you know, like give you like Michael Vick rushing numbers, but an extra 2 or 3 points a week and an occasional rushing touchdown bolsters the final season numbers overall.
Good matchup with Chicago, too. Chicago's defense is just in a death spiral, and they should really put up a lot of points in there.
Right. The Bears are just frustrating how bad they've been and how bad Jay Cutler's been and how bad Matt Forte's been and you know, how bad the
just
defense has
around.
Been. Really, just anything you can think of, the Bears have been absolutely terrible. Forte, I'm not sure I want to play Forte this week.
If I've got better options, I would take them. That's the other side of that is Green Bay's defense looks really nice right now. They've really stepped it up. So
right, their defense has definitely improved. And I'll tell you whose defense frustrated me last week. I picked up the Chargers' defense, thinking, all right, they got the Browns. They're going to rack up some points. But they let the Browns score 23 points. And I think the Chargers' D special teams only combined for 3 points for me. And, you know, it's a playoff matchup. And I was really counting on that D to step up for me, and they certainly did not.
They're a little bit dinged up too. They've got guys out. Other guys are Merriman's hurt. You know, they're a little bit dinged up, and the Cowboys should probably take advantage of that this weekend. It should be a good matchup for the Cowboys.
I would say so. Another guy that killed me that I was big on last week was Mike Sims-Walker. You know, he's been fantastic at home, and he's a guy that I was counting on, expecting a big matchup against the Houston Texans. Not a great defense. One catch, 12 yards.
And Garrard had a great day. I mean, they threw the ball and did everything. He just didn't get involved.
Everybody but Mike Sims-Walker got his touch. And he even got targeted 8 times. He just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating. And another guy that was frustrating, if you started him for your playoffs, was Carson Palmer. The last 2 weeks, they've played the Lions and the Browns, and he's done nothing.
Right. It's been that way for a while now, too. It's a win the games, yeah, that's what they've been doing. But, boy, Palmer's been a little bit disappointing on the fantasy side.
Right, and maybe that was part because they've been comfortably ahead the whole game, and they just run the ball and that kind of thing. What kind of matchup do you see there this week against Minnesota?
I wouldn't start him if I had him this week either, you know, and I'd probably set Cedric Benson as well. You know, Ocho Cinco, probably go ahead and play him because high-profile game, and it always seems to bring it out in him. But the rest of them, I'd be real leery of.
Now, up front, Minnesota is really strong, and they can stop the run. But as you saw last week against Arizona, you can pick up some fantasy points with a quarterback if he's playing well and a nice receiver. And the Bengals do have that combination. It's just, are they going to be able to play effective enough?
Right, and I think a lot of this will depend on what type of game it is because the Bengals, keep in mind, have a really good defense. And I think the Vikings' defense matches up well with the Bengals' offense. So if this is a low-scoring game or it stays within a one-possession game, I don't expect Carson Palmer to do a lot, but the Vikings at home have been really good, haven't lost there yet this year. If they get out ahead 10 to 14 points and the Bengals start to go to the air more, that could lead to fantasy points for Carson Palmer, I would have to say. Look at some of the injury guys. Just give you a little update on some of the guys that are going to be injured. DeSean Jackson, like we mentioned, is probably going to be back, but the Falcons are still really banged up. Michael Turner is questionable, probably not going to be good to go. Even if he does play, you probably don't want to start him. And Matt Ryan's not likely to go. Steve Slayton's on the IR. Mark Sanchez is out, and he's not happy about it.
Yeah, the other guy that you got to keep a real close eye on is Reggie Wayne. He's a foot injury there, and the Colts have nothing really to play for at this point. I mean, they're one game away from locking everything up. Reggie Wayne is a guy to keep an eye on. You know, that's probably going to be a game-time deal. He may not play.
Right.
That would be huge.
Right, that'd be huge for him. Another guy that's it's huge to keep in mind as far as fantasy is concerned is D'Angelo Williams. He's listed as questionable right now. And if he doesn't go, Jonathan Stewart has shown you what he can do if he's the feature back. You know, they're not splitting carries. Jonathan Stewart can be a big-time running back.
And speaking of that, that's, you know, sounding like going to the waiver wire if you need to go for a guy like Jonathan Stewart if he is getting a start. I want to look at some receivers here. They seem to be the big guys out there that are getting a lot of action right now. Lewis Murphy, who he did a lot of damage to my Steelers last week. He had a big game. Drafted in the fourth round, he looks like he should have been the first-round draft pick for the in that receiving core for the Raiders. Kenny Britt, he's available in a lot of leagues still. And Devon Best of the Miami Dolphins, he's a guy to check out, go take a look at.
You know, Devon Best quietly is a really good, solid all-around wide receiver. He's not necessarily a big play guy, but as far as being a really good route runner, possession receiver, I actually really like Devon Best. Not necessarily fantasy as well, but also just genuinely as a wide receiver. I think he's a really good, young, up-and-coming wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Without question. Well, we're up against the break. We're going to talk a little bit about the Heisman Trophy and all the bowl games coming up here in just a little bit. You're listening to the Power Hour presented by SportsOverload.com. Don't go anywhere. We got some Heisman Bowl talk coming up next.
Be a part of the fastest growing sports show on radio. With the Power Hour, you'll reach millions of sports fans with your message. Email Ron at ronshermanadv.com to make your voice heard, your bottom line more effective, and your ad dollars go farther.
Would you like to improve the way your home looks and feels, but don't know where to begin? TheHomeImprovementNet.com is a great place to start. Hi, Ron Sherman here for The Home Improvement Net. With so many home improvement products to choose from, the challenge becomes separating the good and the bad from the downright ugly. TheHomeImprovementNet.com has the answers you're looking for and the information you need. Chock full of innovative ways to make your home a better place to live, it's TheHomeImprovementNet.com. Check it out, TheHomeImprovementNet.com.
If risking a fall while climbing the ladder to clean out your gutters doesn't sound like a weekend well spent, then you need the LeafGuard system on your home. You'll never have to worry about cleaning out your gutters again. LeafGuard is the only patented one-piece hood and gutter system, and it's earned the Good Housekeeping seal. It's designed so that water flows freely into the gutter, but leaves, pine needles, and other debris doesn't. Clog-free guaranteed. Larger downspouts carry water away fast, helping to protect your home's foundation and landscaping from damaging rains. Call 1-800-893-8140 now and save up to 50% on labor. We'll custom make your LeafGuard system right on site in one of 14 colors to choose from. Call 1-800-893-8140 and make no payment for 6 months. Ask how you can receive a gift card good for $100 worth of gasoline with your purchase of the LeafGuard system. Call 1-800-893-8140 now. That's 1-800-893-8140 for LeafGuard.
The Power Hour. It's the secret that all the good sports handicappers know. We bring you the stats and recap so you can bring your A game. Get in on the action, too. Email Ron at sportsoverload.com with handicapper in the subject line to be a part of the Power Hour.
Welcome back to the Power Hour presented by sportsoverload.com. Now, this is one of the more interesting Heisman debates that I can remember in some time, as all five guys really you could actually make a legitimate argument. Normally, it's really a one- or two-person race, maybe three, but this year, depending on how you look at it, you could argue for all five guys. Rick, what's your take on it?
Heck, I'm going to argue for a sixth guy. You know, I don't understand how Kellen Moore's not in the discussion here. I mean, he's playing on an undefeated team that's going to a BCS Bowl. He's 39 touchdown passes, 3 interceptions. You know, he's got the stats, his team was successful, and he's not even in the discussion. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Right, by the traditional award, you know, by the traditional formula that you use to pick the Heisman, he really would be up there. You know, normally it's a quarterback on an undefeated team with you know, gaudy numbers, and he fits that criteria, except it's not a big school. Joe, what do you think?
Now, looking at that same criteria, you know, you would look at a Colt McCoy, a Tim Tebow, or a Mark Ingram. I'm going to look at the other two guys, Toby Gerhart and Ndamukong Suh. Those guys play on teams that are 4-loss teams. But if you look at the numbers, they're well-deserving, and that's what I think makes the best player in college football. Gerhart has 1,700 yards rushing, 26 touchdowns.
Leads the nation in both categories.
Yeah, decent Pac-10 schedule. They're not, you know, one of the best conferences. Everybody would consider the SEC out there, and that's why they look at Mark Ingram, but Mark Ingram's team is so good. You know, one of the other guys, when they come in, Upchurch or Richardson, whenever they come in, they put up big numbers. Right. So that's why I would argue against Mark Ingram there. And then Ndamukong Suh, he's just such a dominating player. 82 tackles, 12 sacks, 23 tackles for loss. That's unheard of. And he's coming in as an interior lineman, creating that much havoc.
Dominant.
Yeah, very dominant. And there's such a bias towards offensive players, but he is the best player in college football, I feel like.
Right, I would have to agree there. And one thing I'll say, you know, for the people that are probably leading towards Colt McCoy or Tim Tebow or something like that, last year Sam Bradford threw 50 touchdown passes. The year before that, Tebow combined for 55 total touchdowns. This year, Tebow only has 31 total touchdowns, and McCoy only has 30. They're barely over halfway there into production of the previous Heisman winner. So, yeah, they're on good teams, but they haven't even been close. And my argument against Mark Ingram is kind of similar to what you're saying. Take Mark Ingram off of Alabama. How many games does Alabama win?
they still win the same.
Yeah. You know, I don't think all of a sudden you take him off and all of a sudden they're 8-4.
Right.
You know, they're still going to be a dominant team. I don't think he made the difference. He's just the cherry on top to, you know, talk about what a good season they had. So, you know, I would have to argue Dominguez Sue and Dominguez Sue just because we haven't seen a defensive tackle like this maybe ever. I can't remember ever seeing a defensive tackle that can drop back in coverage, block kicks, tackles for loss, take over a game from a defensive tackle position. So my vote would go to Ndamukong Suh and Toby Gearhart, just because statistically he's done it in a BCS conference and he leads the nation in rushing and he leads the nation in touchdowns for a running back. So now, those would be my two guys.
That goes back to your point about Mark Ingram. Now, you take Gearhart off Stanford, imagine how many more games they would have dropped without him.
Right.
He carried that team.
But you take Tebow off of Florida, and that's a whole different team.
Yeah, there you go.
His overall impact was pretty huge. But, I mean, look at his stats. There's no way he deserves it. I would probably, if they let me hand it out, I'd give it to Gearhart. But I suspect McCoy wins it, which that's probably what ends up happening, I think.
Right. If I was going to bet on it, I would bet McCoy. That would be the high percentage play. But if I could pick it myself, I would give it to Suh. I just think he's been a freak of nature, and we should reexamine how we give out the Heisman Trophy.
I agree with that completely. It's about the best player, not the best offensive player or a best quarterback running back out there. Because if you look at it, a lot of times, receivers aren't even in the mix.
Right.
And there are some well-deserving receivers out there.
And also, I think, more importantly, not just, you know, who typically wins it. And I think a lot of that stems from the process, from how the voting and all those things going. I think there should be some kind of Heisman committee or something put together that really organizes everything and looks at it and really puts it together. Because a lot of guys that have a vote for the Heisman really don't even follow it that closely there. You know, I was hearing they didn't mention what his name was of the writer, but one of the writers said, like, what's that guy with the dreads? Oh, yeah, Ricky Williams. Yeah, I'm voting for him. Yeah. That was the decision process.
That was crazy.
What he went through. So, you know, there are a lot of guys out there that have a say in who wins the Heisman Trophy that really don't have a clue who guys are from other parts of the country.
There are just so many votes, though, that does kind of equalize that out. I mean, it does. There's so many people voting on it that the few nut jobs that are in it kind of get washed out, sort of.
Well, we all need to take a vote then. We need to have a vote.
Without question. Now let's move on to bowl games a little bit. Any games you're dying to watch or any matchups that kind of strike you as odd?
I'm kind of excited about Alabama and Texas. I think that might be an important game.
Might be important.
The rest of them, I see no point in playing them. I'm not going to watch them. I encourage people not to go to bowl games because as long as we go to bowl games, we're not going to get the playoff we deserve. You know, I just assume nobody show up for any bowl games. Nobody watch them on TV.
You're boycotting it all.
That's a great point, Rick.
I may watch Boise State and TCU because...
Speaking of that...
Yeah.
That just seems wrong to have them paired up against each other. Does it not? Doesn't that defeat the whole purpose of, you know, these guys going undefeated and getting a shot in the BCS to play against the big boys? Having them both play against each other, especially since they played each other last year in a bowl game, It just serves no purpose having them play each other.
Well, these are the matchups. The Sugar Bowl is Cincinnati, Florida. I would have liked to seen Florida, TCU.
That's what I'm thinking.
The Fiesta Bowl, you have Boise State, TCU, Boise, Iowa. And then the Orange Bowl, you have Iowa, Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech, Cincinnati. I think that's a perfect matchup there. That way, you have some of these undefeated teams, smaller teams, going against the big boys. Like you said, I think the sole purpose of how they picked the BCS this year was to have as few undefeated teams as possible at the end of the season, but they're still going to have at least two undefeated teams.
Guaranteed two.
Right, because my point is just whoever wins the TCU-Boise State game, so what? You know, if whoever wins that game, they're 13-0, but nobody's still going. No one's going to say, hey, they deserve a split part of the national championship or they should share it. No one's going to say that because they just beat another non-BCS school, which even if those two teams really are good, the public won't care enough because they didn't beat a powerhouse.
And then if you have Cincinnati that shows up against Florida, you could possibly have three undefeated teams there. But I think their sole purpose was to try to have as few as possible.
Right. Well, we're up against the break. We're going to have Vince Mullins of Fantasy College Blitz coming up next, talk a little college fantasy football, and give you a sneak preview at the upcoming season for next year. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Power Hour presented by SportsOverload.com.
You work hard to make your vehicle look its best. It's got to drive you nuts when tire products sling back, causing potential damage to your paint job. Treat your vehicle to the good stuff with Miracle Glaze Super Gloss Tire Dressing. Our non-sling formula adds a high gloss shine to leather, plastic, vinyl, and wood. Miracle Glaze bonds to your tire surface within minutes, protecting rubber from harmful UV and ozone rays. Call 1-888-286-3850 for two bottles and one can of Miracle Glaze. You'll also get professional detailers tips on DVD for free. Plus, our tire and wheel degreaser is free with your order. A $40 value for only $19.95. That's right, only $19.95 for two bottles and one can of Miracle Glaze, the free DVD, and our tire and wheel degreaser. So call 1-888-286-3850. That's 1-888-286-3850 or go to MiracleGlaze.com.
At Ron Sherman Productions, we give our clients the personal attention all business owners deserve. With media placed in over 200 markets nationwide, Ron Sherman is still the leader in home improvement advertising. However, our services include integrated marketing campaigns for many other businesses. From TV and radio to online strategies and print, our creative team produces everything in-house under one big roof. Visit us at ronshermanproductions.com. It's always a good day for a great idea.
Would you like to improve the way your home looks and feels, but don't know where to begin? The HomeImprovementNet.com is a great place to start. Hi, Ron Sherman here for the Home Improvement Net. With so many home improvement products to choose from, the challenge becomes separating the good and the bad from the downright ugly. The HomeImprovementNet.com has the answers you're looking for and the information you need. Chock full of innovative ways to make your home a better place to live, it's the HomeImprovementNet.com. Check it out, the HomeImprovementNet.com.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, presented by SportsOverload.com, the premier source for free fantasy football and handicapping analysis. Now we're going to go to the Bay Bracket a little bit. We're back to the all-time greats region. We're in round two, moving our way through this. Rick, what do you got for us?
Well, you guys know I'm a dog guy. I like dogs. I got a dog that I take to training every week.
He has all kinds of. Yeah. He always has some new crazy, and they're about the size of a small horse.
She's a fun little dog. But I went through and looked up the ladies because they're older. The ladies in our bracket today, and found out what kind of dogs they had. Compared them, picked which dog I like best, and that's what we're going with.
There you go.
So they're tasting,
I can't wait.
They're tasting pets. All right. Let's start off with this. We've got number one seeded Halle Berry versus number nine Marissa Tomei. Let's start with you, Joe.
No brainer for me here. I like Marissa Tomei, but it's a no brainer. Halle Berry. She's always been at the top of the list. She stays right here, and she takes down Marissa Tomei.
Halle Berry has two Maltese. One's named Polly, and one's name is Willie. It's amazing what you can find on the internet about people's pets. Marissa Tomei does not have a pet. From all of my research, I could not find any. So I'm like Joe. I would have voted Halle Berry anyway. I mean, a Maltese is not much of a dog, but she wins on that one.
Wins by default. Now, Halle Berry here, this is a tough one because Marissa Tomei is kind of a sleeper. But I'm going to have to stick with the favorite here and go Halle Berry. As much as I hate to vote against Marissa Tomei, you know, I'm torn on this one. I'm very torn. Now, got Faith Hill, number four seed, going up against fifth seed Jacqueline Smith. I'll start with you on this one, Rick.
Pretty interesting one here. Faith Hill and her husband own an Italian Bracchi, which is an Italian hunting dog. It's named Patio, which I thought was kind of an odd name. And my dog's an Italian dog, too, so that gives them bonus points there. Jacqueline Smith owns a toy poodle, which that would actually disqualify her from on its own merit. Dog's name's Barney, by the way. So Faith Hill wins this one.
All right. Well, when we bracketed everything, Jacqueline Smith was somebody that I brought to the table, and she was high on my list. So I'm going to stick with Jacqueline Smith here.
I had a feeling that's the way you were going. I had a feeling. All right, but I have to go against you and take the favorite here. I'm going to have to go with Faith Hill. It's an easy choice for me.
You liked her dog, didn't you?
You have to go back and watch some old Charlie's Angels reruns. You'll appreciate Jacqueline Smith.
Right. Now we've got number 11-seeded Ashley Judd versus number 3, Jennifer Aniston. Joe, what do you think?
Well, Ashley Judd is a big-time Kentucky fan. Jennifer Aniston, don't know who she's a fan of, but I'm a fan of her, so I'm going to go with Jennifer Aniston.
Ashley Judd owns a cockapoo named Buttermilk. Jennifer Aniston, on the other hand, owns two dogs. One of them is a terrier mix named Norman, and the other one is a white German Shepherd named Dolly. A white German Shepherd's pretty sweet dog,
yeah.
So she wins on this one.
All right. I'm going to have to stick with Jennifer Aniston here on this one. Longtime Friends fan. I'm going to have to say I'm going to go with Jennifer Aniston, even though I'm not a big fan of really any of her movies, really, for the most part. But I'm going to have to say she wins without question.
You didn't like Marley and Me, Speaking of Dogs?
It was cute. It was a nice little movie, you know.
Did you cry?
It's a good date movie. It's a good date movie.
Did you cry?
I almost did. Yeah. I thought about it.
White German Shepherd, though. That's pretty sweet.
That is.
All right. And we've got two-seeded Shania Twain. There's number 7, Jennifer Lopez. Now, this, I can tell it's going to be a tough choice for Joe over there.
Nah, not tough for me at all. I'm going to make it a clean sweep with the Jays. Got Jacqueline Smith, Jennifer Aniston, and now Jennifer Lopez.
I had a feeling the upset special was coming there.
Now, this is the tough one for me, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, Shania Twain has a German Shepherd named Tim.
Tim.
Jennifer Lopez has a German Shepherd named Floyd.
Oh, Tim Floyd.
Tim Floyd. But the kicker here, the deciding factor was back in 2008, Jennifer Lopez was sued because her dog attacked a flight attendant in a private plane, knocked her over, injured her back, cost her millions of dollars. You know, you can't have a German Shepherd that hurts people, so I'm going to have to go Shania Twain and Tim.
Wow.
That was very elaborate. Said,
yeah, it was.
It was a toss-up. They both had the same dog.
I like it. I like the research, though, the thorough investigation.
Isn't it crazy that this stuff's out there?
I know.
People know this.
The power of Google, yeah. You know? Ever something comes up important, you just Google it. As long as you're,
that's what I always do.
You know, it's amazing out there. But I'm going to have to stick with Shania Twain here. Again, you know, these were tough ones today. These get harder and harder, particularly this region, because this is one of the deeper regions where it's like all 16. Could make an argument for, but I'm going to have to go with Shania Twain here. And that concludes our Bay Bracket for today. We want your votes, as always. Email radio@sportsoverload.com. That's radio@sportsoverload.com. We appreciate you if you would chime in, or twitter.com/sportsoverload. We can take your opinions there. We're up against the break. Listen to the Power Hour presented by sportsoverload.com.
Be a part of the fastest growing sports show on radio. With the Power Hour, you'll reach millions of sports fans with your message. Email Ron at ronshermanadv.com to make your voice heard, your bottom line more effective, and your ad dollars go farther.
If risking a fall while climbing the ladder to clean out your gutters doesn't sound like a weekend well spent, then you need the LeafGuard system on your home. You'll never have to worry about cleaning out your gutters again. LeafGuard is the only patented one-piece hood and gutter system, and it's earned the Good Housekeeping seal. It's designed so that water flows freely into the gutter, but leaves, pine needles, and other debris doesn't. Clog-free guaranteed. Larger downspouts carry water away fast, helping to protect your home's foundation and landscaping from damaging rains. Call 1-800-893-8140 now and save up to 50% on labor. We'll custom make your leaf guard system right on site in one of 14 colors to choose from. Call 1-800-893-8140 and make no payment for 6 months. Ask how you can receive a gift card good for $100 worth of gasoline with your purchase of the leaf guard system. Call 1-800-893-8140 now. That's 1-800-893-8140 for leaf guard.
At Ron Sherman Productions, we give our clients the personal attention all business owners deserve. With media placed in over 200 markets nationwide, Ron Sherman is still the leader in home improvement advertising. However, our services include integrated marketing campaigns for many other businesses. From TV and radio to online strategies and print, our creative team produces everything in-house under one big roof. Visit us at ronshermanproductions.com. It's always a good day for a great idea.
The Power Hour. It's the secret that all the good sports handicappers know. We bring you the stats and recap so you can bring your A game. Get in on the action, too. Email Ron at sportsoverload.com with handicapper in the subject line to be a part of the Power Hour.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, presented by sportsoverload.com. Have you heard about Miracle Glaze Super Gloss Tire Dressing? Listen up, because Miracle Glaze is the choice for car dealers and professionals in the detail industry. The big problem with most tire dressings is it slings off your tires and back onto your paint job. It's a mess, and you don't want that. Nobody does. Miracle Glaze introduces new technology that never stains and never slings. It bonds to your tire surfaces within minutes, no wiping necessary. Treat your vehicle to the good stuff with non-sling Miracle Glaze. Check out MiracleGlaze.com today for more information.
Definitely check out our buddies over at MiracleGlaze.com. Right now on the guest line, we've got Vince Mullins of FantasyCollegeBlitz.com. How are you doing, Vince?
Doing great, Ron. Thanks for having me on.
Right. I mean, you know, we just wrapped up the college fantasy season, so it's, you know, another exciting year. I hope everything is went well over at Fantasy College Blitz.
We're doing our best. You know, it's still I think it's a niche and kind of an evolving fantasy sport, but you know, we're still seeing some signs of strength. It's starting to catch on now that CBS and some other websites are letting people play the game for free and trying to, you know, just seed interest the way they did with pro football and baseball, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Right. I think it's starting to make its way toward mainstream and that kind of thing. You know, looking back on the season, what were some of your bigger surprises that just blew you away as some guys that broke out maybe, or some disappointments, that kind of thing?
The one thing I remember being a real big theme in September and October is just how many injuries there were to the top players that we projected, guys like James Starks. And I guess, you know, there were so many, and you know, that you kind of cleanse your mind of them. But there were tons of injuries at the top of the running back predicted list, and that really caused some havoc. But then that did allow guys to come out of nowhere, like Donald Buckram of UTEP, who looks like he could be just a nice player again next year when he comes back. LaMichael James steps in after LeGarrette Blount threw his infamous right cross.
Exactly.
And, you know, he was eighth in the nation in rushing as a freshman. So that's really what stood out the most to me, was the injuries and the players who stepped in their place.
Right. You know, you look at another guy like Ryan Williams, who stepped in for Darren Evans when he went down.
That's another good one, right, and another freshman. You know, I'm kind of looking at the list, as you told me to kind of prepare for this, you know, this line of questions. I'm thinking, you know, he might be a number one overall next year, especially if you're in a keeper league.
Right, yeah, definitely.
1,500 yards under his belt, almost 20 touchdowns, and he's going to be a sophomore.
Right, exactly. It'd be interesting to see what the future holds there. At the quarterback position, looks like we'll have Case Keenum back for another year, so he's probably up there at the top of the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think you have to put him at the top. And, you know, I guess we're here. Clawson is probably going to go pro, and Taylor Potts is still, you know, fighting for his job, it seems, every other week. So we'll have to wait till the fall camps roll out at Texas Tech. But one of the guys that really surprised me, I mean, I knew Ryan Mallett was going to be good, and this is something you guys are painfully aware of there in Little Rock. But I did not expect him to finish the season in the top 10 as far in average, almost 300 yards a game.
He definitely had a fantastic season, almost too good. You know, we almost would have wished he would tone it down a little bit, you know, for the NFL scouts.
And now the expectations are so high with the fans. You wonder what, you know, and heck, even in the fantasy world. So you wonder if he can live up to those next year. But, you know, all the pins in the lock are kind of firing for him.
Right, and particularly all the skill position players, all the weapons, they're all sophomores and juniors as well. So pretty much every weapon will be back, except for Michael Smith, who is a senior running back. But down the stretch, he didn't even really play any. Anyway, he got a little banged up. So, but that's definitely a case to look at. Another guy that kind of emerged was Jared Johnson at Texas A&M. He's a guy that I think I'll be pretty high on going into next season.
Yeah, and that's a guy, you know, speaking of surprises, I kind of dismissed him at the beginning of the year because, you know, this is a guy who couldn't beat out Stephen McGee. And that's not saying much, you know.
Right.
I mean, maybe he'd beat out Jerry Ball, but, you know, he should have been able to beat out Stephen McGee, too.
Right.
But, he's a great mix of the talent. I've seen some interviews with him where he talks about his life story, and he just seems to have a real calm, cool, collected head on his shoulders. And in the wide-open Big 12,
Played
a little more
defense
this year, but not much more.
Right.
Johnson is another guy that's high on my list for next year, no doubt.
And a guy we hadn't even mentioned yet was Colin Kaepernick.
He had a real slow start, and he had a slow end, but the middle was amazing.
Right. Yeah, if you actually go from, I believe you look from weeks 5 to 13, he's actually the number one overall fantasy player. He just got off to not a terrible start, but not near as good as he played, like you said, during that middle stretch.
Yeah. I had him as my number. He was my number 5 overall pick in my favorite league, where we've got we have 18 owners, and we play a kind of a touchdown heavy scoring system. So he was my number 5 overall pick, and I was struggling the first few weeks, but I got on an eight win tear with, and mostly led by Kaepernick.
Right.
He had just 5 and 6 touchdown games in the middle of the season, which are just huge.
Yep.
And he can do it again.
And it's amazing with college fantasy football. This is one of the good things. You can have an 18-team league, and everybody still be pretty competitive. That's one thing that's, you know, kind of fascinating about college fantasy football to an extent, is that it's just so deep, and there's always guys to pick up each and every week.
Yeah, and my colleague Drew Smith just kind of ran the numbers, just using the NFL as a kind of an analog, and we're pretty confident that if you had 32 people get together, you could pretty easily do a redraft league for all of Division One. And so you got 32 owners in that. I'm in a league called the NCAA Project, which has been around for a while. I just got into it last year, but it has it's got 28 teams and it has keepers and things like that. So it's and there's plenty of people to pick up.
Right, it's amazing, you know. It's particularly the first 4 or 5 weeks of a college season where all these guys are breaking out of nowhere those first few weeks, and you know, it fascinates me. Well, we got about 30 seconds left here. One thing I want to ask you real quickly: what's the process going to be like for you guys going ahead and starting and getting ready for next season?
We'll probably after the holidays die down, we'll probably put our heads together. We'll do a field trip to the, you know, the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. We've been there a couple times. They've been really good to us, letting us have access there to the, you know, coaches and interviews. That's usually a good time for us all to get our heads together and start thinking about what we want to do for next year. And just like every year, you know, we're going to print out a list of the leaders and scratch off the seniors and juniors and then kind of slot from there and, you know, keep an eye out for guys like, you may not remember, like Jamie Harper, who was a huge pick, a huge recruit for Clemson, and he can get slotted in when C.J. Spiller goes on. So just comparing a lot of notes, bouncing around a lot of ideas around and trying to get people prepared for 2010.
Yeah, I'm already looking forward to it. Thanks for coming on, Vince. Vince Mullins of FantasyCollegeBlitz.com for all your college fantasy needs. Thanks for coming on, Vince, and giving us a little insight to some fantasy college football.
Thank you so much, Ron. Have a great one. All right. Happy holidays.
All right, thanks. We're up against the break. We're going to have free picks for you coming up next.
Are you tired of major brand tire dressings dripping all over your car? Nobody wants messy tire products slinging back. They cause potential damage to your paint job. Introducing Miracle Glaze Super Gloss Tire Dressing. Miracle Glaze protects rubber from harmful UV and ozone rays. It bonds to your tire's surface within minutes, and just a few sprays of Miracle Glaze goes a long way. No wiping necessary. Other brands sling dressing everywhere, but Miracle Glaze really does stay on the tire, and we can prove it. Go to MiracleGlaze.com to view the amazing results of the sling test. Miracle Glaze introduces a unique custom blend that never stains and never slings. Other products can degrade the rubber and often cause cracks on interiors. Miracle Glaze also adds a high gloss shine to leather, plastic, vinyl, and wood. Treat your tires to the good stuff with non-sling Miracle Glaze. Go to MiracleGlaze.com today for more information.
Right now, get up to $1,000 off cabinet refacing from the Home Depot's Home Services. Think of cabinet refacing as a facelift for your kitchen, replacing all your current cabinet doors and drawers with new ones, giving you a stylish new look, and transforming your kitchen without a major overhaul. Just call 1-800-275-FACE to set up a free in-home consultation. Use your savings to upgrade your cabinet style, color, and material. And rest assured that your expert installation will be backed by the Home Depot, putting a smile on your face. Call 1-800-275-FACE. That's 1-800-275-3223 today. And get up to $1,000 off your cabinet refacing project of $3,000 or more. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Minimum purchase required through December 30th at participating U.S. stores. See store for license numbers and details.
Welcome back to the Power Hour presented by SportsOverload.com, the premier source for free fantasy football and handicapping analysis. I'm your host, Ron Jumper, and we're joined by my fantasy guru, Rick Atkinson, and the freak, Joe Franklin. Now, there's not any college to pick this week. We'll pick some bowl games next week, so that just leaves the NFL. But fortunately, this is a good week of NFL games. We're going to start with the Green Bay Packers, currently riding a four-game winning streak at the Chicago Bears. The Bears are a three-point home dog. Joe?
The Bears, everybody knows about their struggles on offense. Their defense is able to keep them in games at times, but if you can't score, then you don't have a good shot at winning the game, let alone covering here. Green Bay's defense is playing well also, so I see this as a low-scoring game, but Green Bay minus -3.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Packers also. I think it's a situation where the Bears and their defense particularly is kind of slowly falling off. They're just too beat up, not enough bodies left. And Green Bay's defense seems to be picking it up. So I'm going to say the Packers and lay the points.
Right. The Bears just seem to, you know, they hurt themselves a little bit because they don't run the ball well, and they also don't win the turnover margin because Cutler throws so many interceptions and that sort of thing. So they really put their defense in bad spots, and they don't have a good defense to start with. So they really just hurt themselves all around. The Bears, they're 3-6 in their last nine games, but even those wins were against the Lions, Browns, and Rams.
Yeah.
So their wins, unimpressive to say the least. Packers won four in a row. I'm taking Green Bay minus three. Now you got the Denver Broncos at the Indianapolis Colts. Colts are a 7-point favorite. Rick?
Yeah, you know, we kind of talked a little bit earlier about the Colts' defense is really been standing up, and even without Sanders, looking really, really good. But, you know, that seven just seems like a really big number to me. Denver's defense should be able to keep this close. I think Indy wins, but I'm going to take the points in Denver.
I'll agree there. It seems like both of these teams are involved in a number of games that are close always. So I see this being the same where they match up against each other well. It's going to be a close game, and it stays within that seven, so Denver plus seven.
We're agreeing too much today. I don't like it. Last week we disagreed on, like, every single one of them, except for Georgia Tech. We all picked Georgia Tech, and they won. So, hey, maybe it's a good sign we're agreeing.
You
know,
there
you go. But I'm going to say the Broncos, you know, they have a really talented secondary. I think if anybody man for man could shut down the Colts playmakers, it would be Champ Bailey and Brian Dawkins. So I'm going to go with the Broncos plus seven. I think they'll be able to run the ball just enough to keep balanced and keep the Colts off the field and control time of possession just a little bit, just to make the game close and interesting. Colts should prevail, but I think the Broncos hang tough, plus seven.
Now, Reggie Wayne could be big there, too. No Reggie Wayne, that number looks real good all of a sudden.
Right. The line will probably shrink by game time, depending on when they announce that. So if you like it, stay on it early. Or as soon as you hear Reggie Wayne's not going to play, lock in that number, hopefully as high as you can get it. Cincinnati Bengals. Been playing pretty solid lately, even though it's a little bit under the radar. At the Minnesota Vikings, who got whipped up on last week at Arizona, Vikings are a 6.5-point home favorite. Joe?
This is one of those weird lines because I could see Minnesota winning by six, so Cincinnati would get the cover there. Also, I could see Minnesota winning by seven where they get the cover. So the line is set about right, and I'll lean with the home team here. I'll take Minnesota minus 6.5.
Okay, I'm not a huge stat guy on betting, you know, trends, but I'm going to go with this one. Cincinnati 6-0 against the spread is against winning teams, and they're also 8-0 as underdogs against the spread. So I'm going to take Cincinnati and play the trend there.
Play the trends there. All right. Well, I'm going to agree with you there. I think the Bengals defense will be able to keep this relatively low scoring and close, which makes the 6.5 more important because I think there'll be field goals instead of touchdowns in some cases. I think Carson Palmer's the guy to watch. How he responds, because I don't think the Bengals are going to be able to run the ball the way they normally do. I think the Vikings run D is very good. Carson Palmer's the key. I'm going to take the Cincinnati plus 6.5. I think he makes some big plays to keep this game close. Now the red-hot San Diego Chargers playing against the Dallas Cowboys, who one week we love, the next week we hate. Dallas is a 3-point home favorite. Rick?
You know, the Cowboys' offense has been real inconsistent, but their defense is consistently getting better, and they're starting to play like what we thought that defense was going to be like. San Diego's really banged up coming into this one. Got several guys hurt, including Merriman, Castillo. I'm going to take the Cowboys.
I think this may be a pretty high-scoring game, actually, when you look into the numbers. San Diego's offense is playing really well. Dallas can play good at times. And as Rick mentioned, San Diego's defense is banged up. I think San Diego gets the late cover here. I think they won the game straight up, so I'll take them plus three.
And I'm going to agree. I also agree. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think these teams will both put up a lot of points. San Diego's defense hasn't really impressed me. Dallas' defense kind of comes and goes. I would have to agree. I'm going to have to take San Diego here. Both Chargers are 5-1 on the road. The Cowboys are 5-1 at home. I think it's going to be close either way. I don't think either team pulls away. Chargers have won 7 in a row. I'm going to have to take San Diego plus 3 for that one. And Philadelphia at the Giants. Giants are a 1-point home favorite. They looked good last week. They finally got a big win over the Cowboys. So we'll see how that goes. Rick, what do you think?
You know, earlier in the year, the Eagles pretty much dominated that game when they played earlier. I don't see anything to make me think anything different's going to happen. The Giants aren't as good as they were then, so I'm going to take the Eagles.
I think this game continues the trend with the Giants season, up and down, up and down. They were up last week. They'll be down this week. And Philly is starting to hit their stride, so I'll take Philly plus one.
We're agreeing too much this week. I don't like this. I like feeling like I'm alone on all my picks and the world is against me. But
no, we are.
But I'm going to have to agree and take Philadelphia plus one. DeSean Jackson is back. Eagles are 4-2 on the road. They murdered the Giants when they played earlier this year. I'm going to go with the Eagles. Now, Monday night, we've got a rare NFC West showdown between the Arizona Cardinals and the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers are a 3.5-point on home dog, Joe.
The Cardinals looked fantastic last week, but they're a team that's inconsistent also. And then the Niners, their defense steps up at times. Other times, they seem to go away. But I would take Arizona. I'll lean towards them here, -3.5 on the road. I think Arizona gets the cover.
You know, a minute ago I said I don't do a whole lot of betting trend things, but I'm going with another betting trend here. In this series, the home team or the road team is 8-0 against the spread in the last eight games. So I'm taking the road team. I'm going with the Cardinals.
Hey, I finally disagree. All right, I'm going San Francisco +3.5 here. I'm kind of going against all that makes sense here, but it's a division rivalry game, and I'm going to take it to be close. I like that it's 3.5. I think 49ers could hang tough here and stay within a field goal. And I'm kind of liking what the 49ers are doing, not for my fantasy team. I hate it that Frank Gore doesn't do anything, but I like that their offense has started to pick up. I think their defense will look pretty good. Patrick Willis, in my opinion, Patrick Willis is the best linebacker in the NFL. I'm not sure who would be better. Thoughts?
He's right there at the top for sure. You know, Ray Lewis still has it to me. But if you look at the younger guys out there, Patrick Willis is right there at the top.
And I think one thing, if Patrick Willis didn't play for San Francisco and he played for the Cowboys or the Steelers or someone like that, we would talk a lot more about a guy like Patrick Willis.
I agree.
Without question. But I'm going to take the 49ers +3.5 there. Cardinals, I think they have a letdown after having a big win against the Vikings. And I'm expecting Frank Gore to not necessarily break out and have a 200-yard day or anything, but I'm expecting him to get more involved, more touches, more in the 15 to 25 touch range, somewhere in there, and bounce back and have a little bit better day. Go ahead and go to my lock of the week. Got the Jets and the Bucks under 37. There will be no scoring in this game. It will be boring to watch. Just place your bet and don't watch it. Walk away from the television or change the channel. Go somewhere else. Do not sit down and watch this game. It will be a snooze fest.
This is a game you don't even want to see the highlights. You just want to see that final score.
Just tell me there's less than 37 points and just collect your cash in your ticket and that's it. Mark Sanchez is not playing. Josh Freeman's going to throw 9 picks. And that's really about all it's going to be. Both teams are going to stop the run, force the other teams to try to make plays, and it's not going to be pretty. There's going to be a lot of punts. The punters are probably actually going to hurt their hamstring from punting so much. They're going to be a little tired after the game, actually have to stay in the training room, get ice down more so than normal. It's going to be an ugly, low-scoring game, probably 13-9, somewhere in that ballpark. My under 37, my lock of the week, Jets Buccaneers under 37. Can definitely count on that one. Well, we're up against the break. You're listening to the Power Hour presented by SportsOverload.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap up the show here in just a minute. Stay with us.
Be a part of the fastest growing sports show on radio. With the Power Hour, you'll reach millions of sports fans with your message. Email Ron at ronshermanadv.com to make your voice heard, your bottom line more effective, and your ad dollars go farther.
You work hard to make your vehicle look its best. It's got to drive you nuts when tire products sling back, causing potential damage to your paint job. Treat your vehicle to the good stuff with Miracle Glaze Super Gloss Tire Dressing. Our non-sling formula adds a high gloss shine to leather, plastic, vinyl, and wood. Miracle Glaze bonds to your tire surface within minutes, protecting rubber from harmful UV and ozone rays. Call 1-888-286-3850 for 2 bottles and 1 can of Miracle Glaze. You'll also get professional detailers' tips on DVD for free. Plus, our tire and wheel degreaser is free with your order. A $40 value for only $19.95. That's right, only $19.95 for 2 bottles and 1 can of Miracle Glaze, the free DVD, and our tire and wheel degreaser. So call 1-888-286-3850. That's 1-888-286-3850 or go to MiracleGlaze.com.
At Ron Sherman Productions, we give our clients the personal attention all business owners deserve. With media placed in over 200 markets nationwide, Ron Sherman is still the leader in home improvement advertising. However, our services include integrated marketing campaigns for many other businesses. From TV and radio to online strategies and print, our creative team produces everything in-house under one big roof. Visit us at ronshermanproductions.com. It's always a good day for a great idea.
The Power Hour. It's the secret that all the good sports handicappers know. We bring you the stats and recap so you can bring your A game. Get in on the action, too. Email Ron at sportsoverload.com with handicapper in the subject line to be a part of the Power Hour.
Welcome back to the Power Hour presented by sportsoverload.com, the premier source for free fantasy football and handicapping analysis. I'm your host, Ron Jumper. I'm joined by my fantasy guru, Rick Atkinson, and the freak, Joe Franklin. Now, what we do give you is top-of-the-line fantasy coverage each and every week. Rick's article comes out every Wednesday. In this case, maybe Thursday this week. Yeah. But, you know, we got it done. Let's talk about your sleeper of the week this week, Rick.
I actually got two guys that I'm really high on that are probably on the waiver wire out there. Quentin Gainther is going to be the starting running back in Washington this week. Faces a real good matchup against Oakland. The Redskins are not going to want to try to throw the ball against Oakland. They're going to have to run it. He should have a good game. And Oakland can give up some yards on the ground. So it looks like a guy that could be a real good play. Another guy that I'm real high on, is it's a could be a real game saver for you in your playoffs, is Garrett Hartley, kicker for the Saints, is stepping in. I mean, he's got a big leg, playing on a high scoring team that plays in a dome. I mean, it's the perfect setup in a fantasy league. Pick up Garrett Hartley this week, and I think last week he put in 15 points fantasy wise.
He helped me out. He's one of the few bright spots.
Yeah, look for the same thing this week against the Falcons. He'll get 15 extra points, I think. So
right, it was one of the few bright spots for me. Another guy on the Saints that just murdered me last week was Robert Meacham. I thought the guy I was going against, Michael Turner, was hurt, so I was like, all right, good. But he puts in Robert Meacham in his flex, and Meacham puts up 28 points. So I was like, I would have rather you played Michael Turner.
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh, killing me. But I played Hartley. That was my kicker. And got your sleeper of the week over there for the Redskins running back.
And another guy I'm really pretty high on this week is Matt Schaub. That's a good matchup there. Man, they get the Seahawks. The Seahawks can't stop the pass. Andre Johnson, Matt Schaub, that's two guys you want to be in your lineup if you got them.
Right. Gave up 310 yards to Alex Smith last week.
Yeah.
Sticking along those lines, I would look at Joe Flacco to bounce back this week. They match up against the Lions, which is a favorable matchup. And I think he's going to put the ball in the air quite a bit this week, put it downfield.
Right. This is a good matchup for him. One thing on Joe Flacco, he started off the season on pace to be incredible. He started off on just a, absolute incredible pace. And he's been solid up and down the last few weeks. I would say, obviously, yeah, you're right. You have to play him this week against the Lions. But he's been a guy that there for a while I was starting to think, hey, is this a top 10 quarterback we just, we missed out on or didn't evaluate properly before the season? And where would you put him now, Rick?
He's a top 12, maybe, something like that. You know, it's a guy that looks pretty good play next year, but don't mortgage your team to get him.
Right. And also quickly, you guys got any thought on Lane Kiffin improperly using hostesses for recruiting?
Lane is doing it by any means necessary. Anything he can do, he's doing it to get recruits there, and he's trying to build a major franchise there in Tennessee.
Yeah, good luck to him. I don't know how long he's going to make it there.
Well, I don't know if he majored in marketing in college or a PR or something, but he seems all about generating as much publicity as possible any way he can do it. If it's a secondary violation, who cares? We'll take the slap on the wrist. Who cares? All right, special thanks to Vince Mullins of Fantasy College Blitz for coming on and sharing a little knowledge with us. Special thanks to James Ford, our producer, always does a great job back in the booth. You're listening to the Power Hour presented by SportsOverload.com. Tune in again next week. For Rick Atkinson and Joe Franklin, I'm Ron Jumper. Thanks for listening.